party. Welcome, people loved by God. This is Thy Strong Word, a show devoted to reading and hearing and pondering and proclaiming the powerful word of our gracious giver God, your loving Heavenly Father, produced for you by the LCMS Office of National Mission, underwritten in part by the good folks of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Go check them out, lhfmissions.org. I'm your host, William Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. A joy to be with you today as we nibble on some appetizers for the upcoming Sunday, and what a feast it will be. Some people always just happen to land on their feet, and Pastor Tim Ostermeyer, who has been AWOL due to broadcasting Lenten services, just happens to come back on Good Shepherd Sunday. How did you manage to pull that one off?
I live a charmed life, I guess. That's what they always say.
It must be. It must be. That really is a great joy. Pastor Ostermeyer is, of course, a regular guest here. He is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Ann, Missouri.
Where the sun is always shining and the boards are always chirping. It's true.
As the rain is pouring.
Come up to St. Ann and see. Yeah.
All right. We will bear it in mind.
For those who aren't in St. Louis right now, we are in the midst of quite a lot of rain, and it has been over the last week, and there's severe flooding. They just shut down Highway 44 going south from 270, and
55's underwater, too, isn't it?
55, south? Oh, yeah. 55 is... In fact, Pastor David Boyce Clare, I talked with him last night. He didn't show up for our Bible study because he had to get home before they shut down the highway. Mm. He lives down in DeSoto now. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's just, it's absolutely crazy. We kind of laugh about it because you made the same joke I've heard about five people make today. You know, oh, yeah, the flood of the century again this year. Yeah. Wait, we had this back in December of 15, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And
yep.
then and we've had just about the same amount, I think. It was at our house, I think we collected, the gauge ran out after, we don't know how much spilled over the top, but we were definitely at 7 inches and it was still coming down.
So, they say today we're going to get 4 inches.
Are you kidding? Four?
Today.
Wow.
Okay. And then all that 4 inches on the ground runs off into the rivers and becomes 4 feet, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how they calculate that, but it all ends up in our rivers and our streams, which turns from inches into feet.
The beautiful words of the psalm we have to take consolation in. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed it is, as it pours from the sky. Well,
but those are streams of living water.
Living water, there
we go. No damage and no harm there.
We're going to hear about some of that today. Let's go ahead and join in the colic for this coming Sunday. We pray, Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So this is called Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, if you are in a parish that observes the one-year series, you had all these joys last week.
But, is that right?
Yeah. Misericordias Domini, the loving kindness of the Lord is the name of that Sunday in the one-year series. So, well, you know, before we dig in, let me give my usual reminder. You should feel free, our dear hearers, to join in the discussion anytime at all during the hour. Just shoot an email to kfuo@kfuo.org or call us locally, 314-821-0850, or around the country, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I know you've been chomping at the bit to give us the goods on what this Sunday is all about. Go for it.
Jesus. It's simple as
Wait.
That.
Wasn't that the same last week?
Every Sunday it's about Jesus, and every Sunday it's actually about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the reason that even during the season of Lent, we don't count the Sundays in our 40 days leading up, because every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. But this particular Sunday, the Good Shepherd Sunday, the shepherd, and God being that shepherd, and Jesus making it clear that he is the good shepherd all the way through the scriptures. Now, we have a problem with this, maybe a bit of an obstacle, because unlike the people that Jesus was speaking to, we aren't shepherds ourselves. We don't live among sheep, and we don't know sheep and shepherds and how things work. So throughout our discourse today, we'll have the opportunity to enlighten, perhaps, our hearers in the life of people who lived among sheep and the ways of sheep and the ways of shepherds, so that the grace of God, the care of God, the comfort of knowing that Jesus is our good shepherd may be ours today, knowing that he has taken full responsibility for us who have absolutely no power to protect, to defend, or to save ourselves.
Mm. Excellent. I have to confess that this past Sunday I did get to preach, Ed, and I got to actually rag on one of the paintings in our church, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's the painting of the Good Shepherd. But you know what? I said, look at those sheep. I mean, just look at them. They're perfect. They're beautiful and white. I mean, that's not the kind of sheep that gets described as being the proper clientele of this Good Shepherd, because he's much more interested in dealing with people like us, where, you know, sheep that have wandered, gotten into all kinds of messes, hurt themselves, they're dirty, they're damaged, they're hurting, they're broken. They're the ones he comes to tend.
And he doesn't call us his German shepherds.
Right.
He doesn't call us his lions. He calls us his sheep. And
which is not complimentary necessarily.
No, it's not. If you look at the posture of a sheep, they're four spindly legs. Their heads are by nature pointed down. They do not stand up and look over the plain and make their plans and strategies of where they're going to go. They're very awkward. You never see a show where people have trained sheep to do clever things.
It's the dogs that do the clever
things. Dogs, even pigs are smarter than sheep. Sheep are not very smart, and they're not very capable, and you don't see herds of wild sheep that are living out on the plains. And the reason for that is that without a shepherd to shear them regularly, their own wool becomes so heavy that they won't even be able to walk, and they're easy prey for the wolves.
So they have a symbiotic relationship with people. I mean, they don't exist without somebody taking care of them.
Absolutely. They cannot live in the wild. They must have a shepherd to care for them. And as Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our sins continue to weary us and weigh upon us. And in the forgiveness of sins and the blood of Jesus, our shepherd takes away our sins. And if you've ever seen a sheep after it's been sheared, what does it do? It leaps. It
so
literally
joyful.
Leaps.
Yeah.
It's a skinny little thing that was a moment ago like a giant pillow or marshmallow, but they've been relieved from the great burden of their own wool.
That's a great
burden picture.
I mean, go to church and get yourself sheared.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
All
coming
right.
in so burdened that you can barely walk, and leaving and leaping with your burdens having been removed by Christ.
All right, let's get into the intro for the day, which is kind of surprising that it doesn't go to Psalm 23, which is where we would expect it to go, but it goes to another psalm that deals with the shepherd image as well. It begins with the words from the gospel. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And why all of this? Why all of it? For this, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Doesn't that verse that frames that intro, it really produces for us the one thing that's, isn't it odd that our Lord would say that? We're used to hearing it, so we don't hear the weird thing anymore. But I mean, don't shepherds raise sheep so that they can
Edom.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And what shepherd is there that's going to lose his own life in order to let his sheep? I mean, isn't that kind of like just backwards?
Yeah. Yeah. A shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, as Jesus said, when the wolf or the trouble comes, runs away to save his own tail. And yet Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. Now, we would think that a shepherd that's there to protect the sheep from the wolf, or explicitly from the devil, who laid down his life would leave the sheep completely defenseless, unless in laying down his life he destroyed the very threat itself. And that takes us back to the cross and the resurrection. Our shepherd came to destroy the very threat, which was death. By taking sin upon himself, he destroyed the power of death itself. I lay down my life and I take it back up again, our shepherd has said. And he came to lay down his life for the sheep. This word of Jesus, I am the good shepherd, we often think of this as Psalm 23 and correctly show. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord in Ezekiel, yes, chapter 34, goes through the entire chapter. We can't read the whole chapter, though we could and should. Go back and read Ezekiel 34. He rails on the shepherds that he has placed over his sheep as being negligent and caring for and leading and feeding, and instead they are taking advantage of and they're shearing the sheep. There's a lot of that talk today among false prophets who are taking advantage of Christians and building their own castles and mansions off the backs of the sheep. But God says here that I am the good shepherd. I will shepherd my sheep. I myself, verse 15, will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down. If you jump to the very last verse, God says, you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture are men, humans, and I am your God, says the Lord Yahweh. So he's most definitely not talking about sheep here. He's talking about us, talking about people, and he will be our shepherd. He will feed us. He will lead us. He will redeem us. He will bring us out. He will guide us. Now, when we get to Psalm 23, we could spend all week on Psalm 23.
Or a lifetime, yeah.
A lifetime.
Yeah. But I'm glad you went to Ezekiel, because I mean that is the Old Testament reading that's given for the one-year series. So, it's striking. I will, all the way through that reading.
Everything. I will bring them out. I will feed them. I myself will be their shepherd. I will seek that which is lost.
I will make them lie down.
You
I
bet.
Will, yeah, yeah, that's and, just amazing.
I will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. And the Lord is our shepherd. And when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's referring to everything that came before that was in the Old Testament, speaking of God himself saying, I'm going to be the shepherd. I'm going to lead the sheep. I myself, Yahweh. And then he turns around even in here and says, my shepherd, David. And we go, wait a minute. I thought it was you. Yes, yes, the descendant of David, he who sits on the throne, Christ himself. And there's always that sort of a confusion in the scriptures when God says, I, and then he starts speaking about he, and you go, he who? And he's referring to Christ, but he's referring to himself, but he's referring to Christ. You say, well, what is this? Well, we have a triune God. We have a triune God. We see this in the beginning of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters, and the Lord said, let. And as soon as he said, let, Jesus was there. Because John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wait a minute, how can he be with God and be God at the same time? We have a triune God. One God, three distinct persons, and all things were made through him, that Word. and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word, which is Jesus, is the shepherd that's spoken of in Ezekiel 34. He is the good shepherd, and he identifies himself in John chapter 10 today, or for this Sunday, that the good shepherd that has been announced all the way through the Old Testament, whether it's Psalm 23 or Ezekiel 34 or numerous other places through the Psalms, is indeed Jesus.
Every time we get one of the I am sayings, you really do have to just sort of back up and go, okay, so first and foremost, that's saying Yahweh is talking to you right now. So I, you know, certainly when we come to I am the good shepherd, I mean, that Ezekiel passage and the one in Jeremiah.
And what Pastor Whedon's talking about is in the Gospel of John, it's known for Jesus making a number of sayings, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The I am statements you'll find exclusively in the Gospel of John. In fact, they are one of the most key outlines of the entire Gospel of John. You can go back and read that. It's a great gospel to read, very simple to read. What do they say about the Gospel of John? It's shallow enough that a baby can play in and deep enough to drown an elephant.
Very good. Well, with all this shepherd stuff, it's sort of jarring in a way that the first reading sort of ignores that, maybe, unless you can help us see some connections here. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They, that is the people who had been baptized, the 3,000, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, or the communion, the koinonia, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Sure, what does that have to do with the Good Shepherd Sunday? Except, maybe we should have started with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Mm.
And that I shall not want is kind of revisited again in the last line.
Well, wait a minute. Unpack want, because that's the churchy way of, I mean, an old English way of saying it. I shall not need. Yeah.
I have been given all that I need. And in the closing of it, it revisits this even beyond that, where it says, my cup runneth over, which means I have far more than I need. And what is this picture of the early church? They're distributing to all. They're selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had what? Need. Their cups are running over. Their cups are running over. Now we say, well, my cup's not running over. I barely have enough. In Christ, all that we need is provided. He has come and laid down his life. There is nothing that man can do to us. And though we look to our futures and we worry and we think of many things that we may need or many things that might happen or many things that could befall us, so we need to hoard up and we need to store up over and against the rising waters that might come and threaten us. When we trust our shepherd who will provide all we need, and we look at what we currently have and that our cups are running over, he fills us with hearts that trust through faith in him that will give generously to the needs, the immediate needs of others around us, recognizing our cups run over and will continue. By faith, we know and believe and will continue. And when our faith wanes and we don't trust him and we don't believe he'll continue to care for us, that's sin. It's unbelief, and we need to confess it. We need to repent of it as such and turn again. The word repent means to turn away from distrust and unbelief and to turn back to this shepherd and his words. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. To turn back to the words of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd.
You know,
I shall not want.
The use of Psalm 23 there is so helpful. I love, you know, at the end of it, my cup overflows, is really fascinating in the Greek version of the Old Testament. It has the, my cup of inebriation, how pleasant it is. And I think that's actually the background for the language in the New Testament about don't be drunk with wine, be drunk with the Spirit. And how Paul can say we've all been given one Spirit to drink. Sort of a weird kind of a way of speaking, unless you remember that that's running with that. If he's poured out his Spirit into you, you literally have inside of you the very power and dynamis, the dynamite that made the entire world. You got everything you need. Everything. The one who raised Christ from the dead, he'll raise your body from the dead. You have everything you need in him.
And the faith that we have is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Right. His work. It's
not our decision. It's not our ability to discern, to hear the evidence, and to decide, well, yes, I think Jesus is truly the Messiah. I will invite him into my heart. That's just pure nonsense. It's found nowhere in the Scripture. John chapter 15, Jesus says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. In 1 Corinthians, it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. And if you say Jesus is Lord, and if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, it's because he has set his Holy Spirit within you, and you hear his voice. I can't help but going back to, we haven't even read the gospel yet, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me.
Yeah.
Oh. Only his sheep know his voice, and he has made you his own because of his love for you. He has chosen you, and if you hear his voice and you follow him, that is not your will. That was his will for you. And praise God that you are his. Not because of any worth in you, but because of his love for you. He has chosen you, and he has set his Holy Spirit within you, and you hear his voice, and you recognize him, and you follow him.
So the psalm for the day that I don't want us to lose this. This is a really great one. You've mentioned it several times, but let's just hear the actual words. The Lord, that is Yahweh, is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we're in the middle of 1 Samuel, so you can't hear these words and remember that these are the words of David and not go, oh. He was living in the valley of the shadow of death with the king ready to kill him over and over again, constantly with that. But he has a promise from God that God's going to set a table before him in the presence of his enemies. His head literally anointed with oil by Samuel, anointed with oil. And he has indeed a cup that overflows. And he's convinced then the end of his life is not going to be hiding from as a bandit from the king and living as a sort of terrorist some sort of an outlawed organization his whole life. No, he knows where this whole thing ends. It ends with goodness and mercy chasing after me all the days of my life and me dwelling in the house of the Lord forever.
And if you read any of the Psalms that David wrote during that period of time, they follow a similar pattern, yeah, one to the other. They start off in great terror. Oh, Lord, I'm surrounded by my enemies. My life is being poured out like water. Any moment now, they will come in. They will crush my bones. They will destroy me. But, Lord, in the past, you've always cared for me. You've always taken care of me. You've always defeated my enemies, and you've always brought great victory to me. O Lord, you will sustain me. You will carry me through. You will see me to victory. And it's that same pattern through what we need to be taken from those dark times into the promises of God. Read the Psalms.
Hold the thought, because we need more on that. But we have to take our break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back after these words, People Loved by God.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Are you a rostered church worker with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? As a financial partner with the LCMS, we understand your unique calling and desire to stay focused on ministry, which is why you can look to us as a faithful partner when it comes to your financial needs. Our borrowing solutions allow rostered church workers and ministries to expand their spiritual work now and in the future. Learn more at www.lcef.org.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. We defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone, and we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Kids can get involved in Lutheran mission work, too. Sunday school and Lutheran day school teachers, learn how your students can share the good news of Jesus Christ with children in Spanish-speaking countries like Peru, Uruguay, and the Dominican Republic. How? By adopting the Lutheran Heritage Foundation's Juan 316 Mission Project, which provides Bible storybooks in the Spanish language to children throughout the Americas. Learn more at lhfmissions.org/Juan316.
Welcome back to Thy Strong Word right here on KFUO, your messenger of good news for closing in on a century. Wow. Our special guest today, Pastor Tim Ostermeyer, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Ann, Missouri. And you just don't have to listen to him on KFUO. You also have the opportunity via Hope's website to...
Well, if you come to Hope Lutheran St. Ann.org, and that's an S-T-A-N-N in there, and click at the top of the left-hand column, you can go to our archived worship services, and you can watch live our three worship services, 6 p.m., 8 a.m., and 10:45 on our weekends, and also our adult Bible class. But during the months of March, April, and May, every year for a number of years now, we are also broadcasting our 10:45 a.m. service on KFUO, 8:50 a.m., right here.
Cool.
I got a text over the weekend from a couple that we had met last week, or not met, but we'd spent some time with, and they said they were driving to church, and all of a sudden they heard a familiar voice, and they said they were going to head for Hope in St. Anne, but instead they were going to meet their daughter over at another church in St. Charles. But you get an opportunity to worship with Hope either all throughout the year from via our website, HopeLutheranSt.org, or through KFUO 850 AM every Sunday morning through the end of May.
And a reminder to our listeners, as we discuss these readings for this upcoming Sunday, please feel free to join in the discussion anytime at all during the hour. You can shoot us an email. We're at KFUO@KFUO.org, or if you're in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, and anywhere in the country at 1-800-730-2727. So, do you have any more you want to say on Psalm 23 itself? Or, I mean, I know that's a dangerous question for me to ask him. I can see from the glint in his eye.
You know, there's so much in this, and not only Psalm 23, but John chapter 10 today, that, as I said at the top of the hour, that we don't know about sheep, but once a few things are pointed out, then a great comfort comes over us. And knowing that Jesus is our good shepherd, we were talking on the break that we could do a week on just Psalm 23. Let me just jump into here. He leads, he restores, he makes me lie down. All of these things, he has assumed the responsibility for. Because as I said at the top of the hour, sheep are not smart. Now, this is not a flattering way for us to be looked at or described by our Lord, but it's the truth. We are vulnerable. We are helpless, and we need him. And he has said here, he is our shepherd. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Rushing waters, sheep will push one another in, and they'll drown. Still waters, safety. He restores my soul. We know that our Jesus, our good shepherd, has laid down his life, leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we are all walking through that valley, it's a darkness. Our future is dark before us. Death is our enemy, and we have absolutely no power on our own over it. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Imagine a sheep walking along in darkness on the edge of a precipice, not knowing whether the next footstep is going to be off the cliff or not. And what does that sheep feel? Is the staff of the shepherd nudging him in the ribs, pushing him closer to one side or the other, trusting the guidance of that shepherd, even though walking through darkness, knowing that that hook once in a while is going to be put around your neck and you're going to be pulled back from falling. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When we feel the correction of the Lord, when the Lord corrects our path, what a comfort it is to know that we are not left on our own, that even though we can't see him, even though darkness pervades, he is with us. He is guiding us. He is at our side. He is protecting us in spite of the fact we can't see him, and we're walking through the very shadow of death itself. We have a shepherd who has destroyed the power of death. He has laid down his life for his sheep. And he leads us where? He leads us. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Leading us in paths of righteousness, leading us all the way home in the victory of a risen Savior who has conquered death. That's our good shepherd.
It's also fascinating in the way that almost every English version, when it comes to Psalm 23, simply follows the Greek rather than the Hebrew. I mean, all the Hebrew says is that even though I walk through a gloomy valley, I don't need to be afraid of any evil. But the Greek very specifically called that dark valley, it says, the valley of Thanatou, the valley of death. And so that made it into all the English translations. I just find that interesting. It's like there's something deep down inside of us that goes, no, we know what that valley is. We can put a name on that valley.
Yeah, we all know it. We all know it. It's that darkness of our future, the uncertainty, the fear that we live with of what might be with the next step, with the next day, with the next hour. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
John 10, the gospel reading sort of sets the theme for the day. Jesus said, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let's stop at this point before he actually gets into it. I mean, he does explain it, but he goes beyond.
Well, I want to leap on this one with all fours. Again, this is a picture that the people knew well, but we don't, because we don't deal with sheep. Daily, shepherds all over the hillsides with their own sheep, leading them to different pastures, leading them to different watering holes, shepherds all over the place with their own individual flocks of sheep. In the evening, they would bring them into a common area, a common pen, a walled area where everybody put their sheep in together. And you say, what? They would all get mixed up. How would you tell one person's sheep from another? You put all these different shepherds' sheep in one pen. Yes, and then the next morning, maybe there's six or eight, maybe 10 different shepherds, and they would position themselves on the hillsides outside of the pen. And the gatekeeper would open the pen and start hurrying all the sheep out, and the shepherd on the one hillside would be singing his song. And the shepherd on the other hillside would be whistling his tune. And the shepherd on the other hillside would be reciting his poem. And the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they sort themselves out, and they follow their own shepherd. They don't follow the voice of a shepherd that's not their own. And this is what Jesus meant by this. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. They know his voice. We know Jesus' voice because he is our shepherd. He has made us his sheep. We hear his voice and we follow him. We trust him. He is our good shepherd. No one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, the faith that he's given you has enabled you to hear his voice and to follow him in paths of righteousness and follow him into eternal life. That's what Jesus is saying here. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. This is astounding. Again, this is such a faith builder that assures us that God has chosen us to be his own because we hear the voice of our shepherd and we follow him. That's not our choice. That was his again, that we recognize that voice, that we look to a cross. We look to a cross with a dead Jesus on it, and we don't say, oh, what's that terrible, gross, horrible thing? Take it down. No, we look and we see what? Our shepherd who laid down his life for us? How can you see that in there? Well, you do if he's given you his Holy Spirit. And in the same way, we hear his voice of promise, his voice of grace, his voice of forgiveness, his voice of peace. Fear not, for I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Thank you for going that way. I want to stress what you just did right there. To know the voice of the shepherd is to know the promises that Jesus speaks, particularly the promises that he speaks to you. I mean, you recognize the voice of your shepherd when he's the one that says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You recognize the voice of your shepherd when you hear, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet will he live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And you know the voice of your shepherd when he says, I am going to make a place for you, and when I've made a place for you, I'm going to come again and take you to be with me so that you may be with me where I am.
And when you hear all of these promises from your shepherd, you can feel the wool coming off your body. Mm-hmm. You can feel the sin melting away and your burdens being lifted, and you can leap. You can leap for joy, knowing you are one of the sheep of the Good Shepherd, and you know where you're going. paradise. He's leading you home.
Our brother James sent some questions our way. Now, he's jumped ahead to verse 16, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is really a crucial passage to get what you just were talking about with the hear my voice, because the oneness of the flock arises from the hearing of the one voice of the shepherd. People always want to make the, when they talk about the church, they use, I think, bad words, not bad, but inadequate words when they talk about visible and invisible. They're using their wrong sense. In the church, it's your ear. It's your ear. There's one audience listening to the voice of the shepherd. So the church is primarily an ear thing, not an eye thing. And if we remember that, then we see the unity of the church is exactly what, how did Luther put it in the Small Cult articles? He said, thanks be to God, in our day and age, even a 7-year-old kid knows what the church is. Holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd. What's the church? Sheep listening to the shepherd. Well, with that, James asks, other sheep not of this fold. Those ones which the good shepherd is compelled to bring into the fold because those other sheep also hear his voice. Is this speaking of those that exist outside the formal structure of the church?
Perhaps. When I read that, I think of Jesus speaking at the time to the Jews.
To the Jews, yes. I mean, Jews and...
And this was his forecast.
Yep.
That the Gentiles too will be included.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's in the context of John. I don't know any other way to really hear that, but yeah. He's got other sheep. That is, he's got Gentiles he's going to bring, and they're going to listen to his voice too. And that's exactly what, I mean, you read the story of Acts, and you see that that's what happened to Gentiles. He has something to say to us too? And them coming and listening. So, yeah. He also asks, if the good shepherd must bring those sheep into the faith, must we accept and tolerate the diversities of sheep who hear his voice the way they understand it in an ecumenical way?
Diversities, that's a key word. That's a loaded term. What do you mean by diversities? You know, we certainly accept diversities of adiaphron, as we call it, things that are neither commanded nor forbidden. There are diversities in forms of worship, and that's neither commanded nor forbidden. But we judge everything and we hold everything over and against God's word in the scriptures. We do not accept anything diverse that opposes the scriptures. Our rule and our norm is the Holy Scriptures.
So diversities, when I hear it, James, one of the things, if I can put it in a, I think that there are all kinds of ways that different people have been damaged by sin. We're not all damaged in the same way. It's true that there's a mess. But where there's no diversity is that the sheep who are all a mess and with diverse mess in their lives, they find their unity in listening to the voice of the shepherd. And he's the one who speaks to us in his scriptures. I mean, as we listen to those, there can be no diversity in saying, well, I don't like that part. I'll take this. You have that.
Exactly.
We take what our shepherd says to us, all of it, and we say, amen. And that's the mark of being church. You also ask, pastors, are we letting Christ be Christ if we don't practice ecumenical koinonia, fellowship, and concord with the other sheep who hear his voice? Again, I think in the context, James, he's just saying that the church is going to be both Jew and Gentile. And I don't think there's anyone that would deny that.
And also, it says clearly in the scriptures that watch out for those who put obstacles and cause divisions in your midst. Stay away from them, Paul writes.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from them.
And in passage where he talks about sheep, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even within the body of Christ made up of true believers, if there is false doctrine, if there's those who are persisting with false doctrine, even in the midst of the church, the division has been created by them, not by you, and you're to stay away from them. We are to always seek the purest of doctrine. Now, to condemn them to hell, no. You know, if they're believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is certainly evidence that the Holy Spirit is with them and that they are saved. But within that same structure, within the body of Christ and the church, where there are divisions and where there is false doctrine, we're not to tolerate that and call that diversity. There's false doctrine and there's correct doctrine, and the scriptures are the final judge of that, and that we should be diligent in always rooting out false doctrine so that the church may continue in purity. Any false doctrine is of the devil, and it undermines and uproots faith within the vulnerable sheep that Jesus has called to himself.
And the last question from James really has a short answer, I think. You know, who are the other sheep from the patristic medieval church's perspective? Again, because they read the context of the Gospel of John, it's the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Other sheep are brought into the fold. And so that's the best answer I think we can give to that. All right, let me read the last paragraph of the Gospel reading. So Jesus again said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the doer of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." The abundantly at the end there ties back to the cup that overflows. That's the picture in the mm-hmm. Greek of the life. It's like life poured into the cup so much that it's spilling all over the place.
And if it's spilling all over the place, that's deliberately not to be wasted, but to be shared.
There you go.
It's to be shared. And that gets back to our reading from Acts chapter 2. This is another one of the great I am statements again. I am the door of the sheep. And there's been a lot of confusion on this. How can Jesus be the door and be the shepherd? And what is he really trying to say here? Well, quite oftentimes, with these sheep pens, if the gate was open, the gatekeeper would stand in the way, keeping the sheep from coming in or going out.
And the wolf from coming in.
You bet. Guarding it, being the one. And if he stood in the way, then the sheep could not come out, the wolf could not come in, and any that he would let out or let in. And this gets back to Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The gate, the way, the entrance, the door. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. There's no other way in. There's no other way out. There's no other way to the Father. There's no other plan of salvation. God the Father did not create a multitude of paths of salvation in this world, and Jesus is just one of them.
There is no plan B.
No plan B.
So wait a minute. But what do you do with this next section? I mean, this sounds frightfully disrespectful to Moses and the prophets when our Lord says, "All that came before me are thieves and robbers." I take it he's not referring to Moses and the prophets.
No. He's talking about the fact that the people had been waiting for this promised Messiah, as it says in the Hebrew, where we get the word Messiah, the Christos, where we get the word Christ in the Greek, and it all means the anointed one. The one that God anointed to be the Savior of the world, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Good Shepherd. As it, in Ezekiel, "I am the one that will come and shepherd my sheep. I am the one that will lead them beside still waters. I am the one that will feed them. I, Yahweh, will come." This is the Christ that they are awaiting. So when he says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them," there were many, many who claimed to be the Christ before Jesus. It was pretty common, even in the days of Jesus, that there were false prophets that rose up claiming to be the Messiah, and they would get followers, and they would be put to death. It was pretty common for them to put them to death. In fact, even after Jesus' own death, Gamaliel was the one
that... I was just going to read it.
Yeah,
I
mean, that he advised the Sanhedrin that just like many others before who've claimed to be the Messiah, that once we put them to death, then their disciples are scattered, and you don't see them again until the next guy comes around that's, you know, claiming to be the Messiah. So if this Jesus was a false prophet, like the ones before him, nothing will come about from this. But if he was the Christ, we need to be careful. So let's not do anything rash. So it was pretty common that these guys came, and that's what Jesus is referring to, not Moses and the prophet, but the false prophets, the false Christ,
yeah,
who had come before him. Those were the thieves and the robbers, but the sheep did not listen. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved.
So what does it mean to enter by him?
No one comes to the Father except through me, through faith in Jesus. The great John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, through faith in Jesus. And we said this at the very top of the hour, that the faith in Jesus is not your decision that you act upon, that you suddenly lay your chips on Jesus because the evidence is in his favor. No. If you believe in him, it's because God has chosen to place his Holy Spirit within you. A Holy Spirit that descended upon you in the waters of baptism and remained. A Holy Spirit that comes, a faith that comes by hearing, that comes. Not that you bring, a faith that comes by hearing. That's Romans 10:17. The Holy Spirit that comes through the hearing of the gospel of salvation, that this shepherd, your Savior, your God has come and laid down his life for you, has died for your sins, and has risen with healing in his wings, and he calls you to himself. And this day he opens your ears through that same Holy Spirit working through the word. The faith that comes by hearing may have fallen upon someone listening today for the first time, and your eyes are welling up with tears because now you do hear the voice of your shepherd and you know him to be your Savior. And in spite of yourself, you know your God loves you and has called you to himself. That is the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's how he's the door, the way in.
And the thief who comes only to kill and steal and destroy, I can't help but think of Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed, and how Satan snatches the word out of people's hearts so that they don't believe. There he is doing his thievery, killing, and stealing work. So,
you've unmasked all the false prophets.
Yep.
Because behind every false prophet, behind every charlatan, is Satan. And don't think for a minute that that's just some cartoon character. There is a real devil. There is real evil. And there's a real shepherd,
and
a real
Savior.
God, and a real Savior,
yeah,
who calls you through his word in faith to hear his word and to follow him into eternal life.
Amen. Pastor Ostermeyer, thank you so much for giving us this rich feast on these appetizers. The main course is, of course, being served up on Sunday. People loved by God, you do have a good shepherd. He loves you. He gave his life for you. And you to him, you matter so much that he's willing to battle the wolf to make sure you are his own forever. Remember that this show is produced for you by the LCMS Office of National Mission. It is underwritten in part by those good folks of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. You can check out the work they do all around the world, lhfmissions.org. William Whedon signing off on a soggy day.